That's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
Friday afternoon at 1 on Radio Catskill.
Radio Catskill, WJFF, Jeffersonville.
Greetings to a journey where pixels meet melodies and controllers become conductors. This is Virtual Soundscapes on WJFF Radio Catskill. I'm your host, Matt Hurtado. At the end of the hour, I'll be speaking with Renee Gittens, CEO of Stumbling Cat, who recently released Potions, A Curious Tale, on Steam. Join me now on a road trip through some of the best indie game vocal tracks. First stop, Ol' Shoshone from Firewatch.
Headed off to Ol' Shoshone, where the birds and the bees won't know me. Man and war won't exist no more, and there ain't no gals to keep no score. I'm taking off for the woods, to a place where there ain't no shoots. Don't need no books or ponds or the ponderosas. Don't need no lady or marry the Mariposas. Can't waste no time in getting there. I'll do 80 down 80 without a prayer. Don't need no gal, I'll spruce up for the spruces. Don't need no pal, I'll change my mood up for the mooses. Headed off to Ol' Shoshone, where the birds and the bees won't know me. Men and war won't exist no more, and there ain't no gals to keep no score. And if you're wondering where's my aspen, it's been cavorting amongst the aspens. Don't need no grass, I'll get altered among the alders. Don't need no mass, I'll grovel before the boulders. I'm headed off to Ol' Shoshone, where the birds and the bees won't know me. Men and war won't exist no more, and there ain't no gals to keep no score. I'm headed off to Ol' Shoshone, where the elk and the owls won't know me. Where there ain't no judges to whom I gotta plead, 'cause I can be me in Ol' Shoshone.
Kept in sight so long, I've lost sight of right and wrong. When you left an open door, I couldn't help but explore. So I took off with no plan, thinking I could find a friend. Shaking hands, I hope this moment never ends. It feels so good out on the road and on my own, waking up, no strings attached, no looking back from ocean waves to desert skies and summer nights. I know like to be free, chasing butterflies and floating on the breeze. I've got no doors, I need no keys, another world to be seen. It feels so good out on the road and on my own, waking up, no strings attached, no looking back from skies and summer nights. I know we'll
You're listening to Virtual Soundscapes on WJFF Radio Catskill. I'm your host, Matt Hurtado, and your driver today through a vast landscape of the best music from indie games. We just heard Too Late to Love You from Kentucky Route Zero, and The Road from Road 98, two fantastic road trip-based indie games. Now let's leave the pavement behind us as we venture forth into the rocky roads of Supergiant Games, and listen to We All Become from Transistor.
Thank you.
This is Virtual Soundscapes on WJFF Radio Catskill. I'm your host, Matt Hurtado. That was the title theme from Mutazione, and Setting Sail, Coming Home from Bastion. Let's all take a chance to stretch our legs and continue our journey with this indie game road trip right after this break.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. This week, we talk the absolute best way to make turkey and gravy with superstar recipe writers Kenji Lopez-Alt and Deb Perlman. And we dive into Indian-inspired desserts. It's coming up on The Splendid Table.
The Splendid Table, Sunday morning at 11 on Radio Catskill.
Hummingbirds and foxes and whales, oh my. I'm Meg Wolitzer, and on this week's Selected Shorts, fiction about the beauty and vulnerability of the natural world. Please join me.
Sunday night at 7 on Radio Catskill.
Welcome back to Virtual Soundscapes on WJFF Radio Catskill. I'm your host, Matt Hurtado. For the next leg of our indie game road trip, we're setting our sights to the skies as we travel to Rimworld and hear Waiting for the Sun. Stay tuned to the end for an interview with Renee Gittens from Stumbling Cat Games as we discuss what it takes to make an indie game and her new release, Potions, A Curious Tale, on Steam now.
Wait. steps, deep breath. Everything is all right. Chin up, I can't step into the spotlight. She said, I'm sad, somehow without any words. I just stood there, searching for an answer. When this world is no more, the moon is all we'll see. I'll ask you to fly away with me until the stars all fall down, they empty from the sky. But I don't mind if you're
This is Virtual Soundscapes on WJFF Radio Catskill. I'm your host, Matt Hurtado. Our trip through space just led us through the Outer Wilds, hearing Timber Hearth, and Everything's All Right from To the Moon before that. Before our interview with Renee Gittens, let's ground ourselves once more and hear all of you from Life is Strange.
Imagine a world without you, American girls. I'd like to be part of the world around you, driving a car by the seaside, watching the world from the bright side. American girls in the movies, no one can tell where your heart is. American girls like dollies, with shiny smiles and plastic buddies. I wish I had.
This is Virtual Soundscapes, the video game music show, only on WJFF Radio Catskill. I'm Matt Hurtado. We just traveled through the post-apocalyptic lands of Laika and heard Aged Through Blood. Before that, all of you from Life is Strange. Now for our final destination, an interview with Renee Gittens, CEO of Stumbling Cat. Tonight I'm joined by Renee Gittens, recognized by Forbes in 2020 as one of the esteemed 30 under 30 in the gaming industry, former executive director of the International Games Developer Association, and CEO of Stumbling Cat Games, who recently published their first title, Potions, A Curious Tale. Renee, thanks for joining me.
Pleasure to be here.
First of all, huge congratulations on the release of Potions, A Curious Tale, which I understand has been a 10-year labor of love.
Yeah, it has been. It's definitely been a passion project of mine, and I'm so happy to finally see it out in the world and people enjoying it.
What made you interested in the industry, and, you know, how did you start your career and how did that manifest?
Yeah, so I've always been interested in video games. My dad got into video games when I was quite young. So around 4 or 5 years old, my dad was playing first-person shooters on the PC. And that's when I started watching him, started trying to play myself. So unlike many people of my generation who grew up with Nintendo and Mario and Zelda, I grew up with Wolfenstein and Doom and Duke Nukem 3D. But I still fell in love with the medium of games and have enjoyed playing them my entire life. I, however, actually didn't know that I could be a game developer until my senior year of college. So I actually went to Harvey Mudd College and got a degree in engineering with a focus in mechanical engineering to be a biomechanical engineer. And I started my career in the biotech industry. But upon learning that I could be a game developer, I started teaching myself programming on the side, actually switched over to software engineering at that biotech company, and then began doing game development in all of the spare hours I could until I was able to start Potions and the rest of my career.
That's really amazing. I hear that a lot about, you know, people being, I mean, that was me too. I was like, I didn't know I could be a game developer until, you know, in my 20s. And I was just like, what? This is like a thing? That's awesome. I mean, I've played video games my whole life, and obviously somebody made them, but yeah, I think that's great. And I can definitely see where maybe some of that biotech kind of carried over into Potions maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly a lot of problem solving when it comes to game development. And in terms of, you know, considering alternative solutions and things like that, that's been a really strong design theme for Potions.
So what inspired you to create Stumbling Cat Games and Potions, A Curious Tale?
Yeah, so Stumbling Cat was intended as a sort of umbrella in which I could do side projects and personal projects. And Potions, A Curious Tale started out as a design concept for me to make games for my portfolio. If you're interested in being in the games industry, it's actually quite important to have a portfolio of your work to show that you can get work done, to sort of really show your abilities and your skills and maybe even your abilities to work with others if you have larger projects. So I started this piece not intending for it to be a commercial product, but there was so much interest in the alternative combat, the resource management, the fairy tales and folklore and charming story that I decided to kickstart it, and upon a successful Kickstarter, continued to work on it as a project while I grew the rest of my career in game development as well.
So what were some of the challenges? Because I know you've worked at big studios like Phoenix Labs, and, you know, I've my whole career has basically been just, you know, giant studios, except for the very first job I had, which was still kind of medium-sized. But what are some of the challenges you encounter during the development of an indie title like this? And how does it differ from your experiences at places like Phoenix Labs?
Yeah, I think there are different challenges for each person when it comes to indie development. Initially, one of the biggest challenges I faced was figuring out consistent motivation and work schedule, because it was really easy for me to get super passionate about something, work absurd hours, burn out, not feel like working, feel guilty about being burnt out and try to avoid it more. So it actually took me a while to figure out that there's a reason that jobs tend to have a consistent schedule and hours, not just for the health of the employees, but for the ability to produce consistently. So once I started holding myself to a reasonable schedule of work, once I started making my goals very bite-sized, I felt a lot less guilt around any lapses in productivity, much more consistent productivity, and just found my motivation a lot easier to maintain. Another big difference between indie development and AAA development is, as an indie developer, particularly as someone running your own studio, you have to wear so many hats. Game development in general tends to reward and be easier for people who have a breadth of knowledge because it allows you to work with others easily. But as an indie, that is a very deep breadth of knowledge that you are required to pick up and maintain, because you are going to be so involved with so many parts of the project, if not even doing it all yourself.
So that brings up an interesting point. So when you started Potions, you said that it was, you know, just kind of a portfolio passion project type thing. How did that evolve into? Because I think I've read you had somewhere between 10 and 20 people helping you out at Stumbling Cat throughout the creation of this. How did that kind of evolve into, you know, having more of a just beyond you?
Yeah. For me, it was just a matter of recognizing my own strengths. Particularly art and audio are not very mature skills of mine. So I decided to bring on contract help for those roles. And with the development lasting almost 10 years, a lot of people have joined and left the team. I also know that the games industry in general has a crediting issue, where often when somebody leaves the team, they're removed from the credits if they leave before the game ships. And I absolutely did not want that to be the case for my own studio. So even if someone only created one piece of concept art or a couple of VFX, I ensured to credit them for their work. So I think that's really important and perhaps gives a slightly different impression of how many people assisted me in terms of hours of assistance. I'm truly lucky to have worked with the team members that I have, because, you know, I can't do great animation. Like, I'm not going to draw a good environment out art. You certainly don't want to hear any attempts of mine at making a soundtrack. and they've really uplifted me with their talents, even in areas where I have more ability, you know. Particularly when I was working as the general manager of Phoenix Labs Vancouver, you know, I was having a very intense, stressful job. My studio was, it's like 155 people that I was in charge of keeping happy and productive. And so coming home and trying to be creative with a couple last dungeons and boss fights was really difficult. So Kristen and Gregor assisted me a bit with the design there at the end. And that allowed me to sort of reinvigorate my creativity through their own inputs.
Thank you. Yeah, that's really interesting. And so, I mean, balancing all of that, you know, your time at Virtual Labs, your time at with the IGDA and making this game, that had to be just insane.
Yeah, I think that my average work week over the last 10 years is probably nearing on 70 hours a week, which is not recommended or sustainable. I don't think anyone should do that. But I'm really glad that I was able to do that in order to bring this to light. I mean, this is truly a passion project of mine, absolutely a labor of love. And I definitely need a vacation. So I'm looking forward to that in the near future.
Yeah, you definitely deserve that. You just talked about, you know, how it was unsustainable for you to work 70 hours a week. But during your time at the IGDA, when you were executive director, one of your focuses was sustainability and careers in the industry. So how do you think as an industry we can keep moving towards that goal? Because I feel like, especially this past year, it's just been, you know, all of my other interviews have talked about it, and it's been very hard for a lot of people in the industry. And I think, you know, having sustainable careers is super important. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there are different factors that go into making careers sustainable. One of the ones that was previously focused on and has improved a bit, not perfect yet, is workplace culture, making sure that there's not toxicity or harassment, that employees feel supported and valued, that they're having reasonable expectations in terms of output and time contributed, put on them. And I do think I've seen a lot of progress in the industry over the last decade or two with that regard, particularly more within the last 6-7 years. But obviously, the thing that is bothering most people when it comes to sustainability about the industry today is the amount of layoffs. And I think that there's a multiple combinations of things that created the current situation that has caused the layoffs. I think that part of it was unsustainable growth with the pandemic and the focus among many people playing games. There was a bunch of rapid growth within the games industry, and many studios decided to also grow rapidly, matching that growth. Growing rapidly is a very risky thing to do in business. It's hard to do that sustainably because you are sort of growing faster than your culture and management and effectiveness can expand to keep up with you. And rapid growth periods never last. So if you hire thinking that the rapid growth is going to continue, that is setting yourself up for potential failure. Another factor there was the rate of loans. Because interest rates went up on loans, it meant that it was less sustainable to borrow money as a studio. And the combination of the reduced growth with the more expensive loans meant that studios decided to tighten their belts. And I think they did so too aggressively. I think that they grew too aggressively, but they have also overshot tightening their belts. So I'm expecting that we will see a recovery within the games industry probably in the later half of this year. But in order to prevent this from happening in the future, I think it's really just sharing good business information, particularly among studios that have less business-focused leadership. Because a lot of studios are run by people who've been game developers and, you know, might not be thinking about the far-reaching business impacts of those growth decisions.
What advice would you give to someone who wants to either start their own studio or start making their own game or break into the industry today?
The very first thing you should do is make a game. I know that might seem obvious. But there are so many resources out there right now for you to, you know, get your hands into it. There are great tutorials online. There are great tools. You should really follow first what you're passionate about. If there's a particular game you're passionate about and it has a modding community, that's a wonderful place to start because you'll care about it. Or if you really like JRPGs, like, sure, download JRPG Maker. If you're into first-person shooters, there's a ton of Unreal Engine tutorials. Or if you prefer 2D games, you have Go and Game Maker and Unity. Learn.unity.com is a really wonderful resource for learning both Unity and programming overall. And through accessing those resources, you can really get started. I think that it's difficult to learn game development through reading books. Not to say that books are invaluable. There's certainly a lot of information they can give you. But starting to put an idea on paper and then bringing that idea to life, keeping it simple as well, is a really good way to temper your skills and understand how game development works. Because it's truly quite an iterative process. An amazing idea on paper does not necessarily feel amazing when you actually implement it.
So just want to wrap this up here and ask you what's next for you personally, aside from vacation and Stumbling Cat Games?
So I would say that when it comes to Stumbling Cat and Potions: A Curious Tale, with the massive amount of interest around potions, I would like to bring it to consoles. So I'm definitely going to be working on a free content patch and console porting. I don't have a set timeline for that. It's going to depend on a lot of factors, but that is definitely something that there's a lot of market interest for. So I will definitely be working on that. And then I would like to return to doing smaller prototypes myself. So, like I said, it's a great way to temper your ideas, to build your skill set, flesh out your portfolio. And it's fun. Like, doing game jams is fun. Making small games is fun. And, you know, at the end of a long project, it's good to return to a focus on fun for a while. And I'm really looking forward to that.
Renee, thank you so much for joining me tonight.
It's been a pleasure.
Potions: A Curious Tale is out now on Steam, hopefully on your local consoles in the future. This has been Virtual Soundscapes on WJFF Radio Catskill. I'm your host, Matt Hurtado. I hope you enjoyed our road trip through the land of indie games tonight, and if you'd like to listen to the interview with Renee or any of our previous guests, you can find it online at wjffradio.org/podcasts. or any of your favorite podcast apps. Please join us next Thursday at 10 p.m. for a special Thanksgiving episode, where we'll be featuring some of the coziest music from games featuring cooking.
Support comes from Sullivan 180, building healthy communities through people, places, and policy one degree at a time. More information at Sullivan180.org. From The River Reporter, the community newspaper covering four counties in Pennsylvania and New York along the Upper Delaware River, riverreporter.com. And from listeners like you, who donate at wjffradio.org.
For the next jazz night in America, we visit a city known for being a hotbed of jazz talent. No, I'm not talking about Philly or Houston or New Orleans. I'm talking about Hartford, Connecticut. We'll hear how the city went from a drive-through town